Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, or like a book club for people late reading. This month we're doing horror, so Rob picked the movie Witches of Eastwick. We bring you a new show segment, and this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens.
Hello. The old guy's here.
So who has a description of
so
this?
So I was, since it was my show. Pick, and I was appointed to read the little IMDb thing.
Yep, he was forced.
I don't know if it's all that good or not. Three single women in a picturesque village have their wishes granted at a cost when a mysterious and flamboyant man arrives in their lives.
The first thing I've got to say is it's Jack fucking Nicholson. Yeah. This you could pretty much have him read the dictionary and it would pretty much be the best movie out.
I liked it.
I like Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
The movie, you know, had gives and takes, but I like Jack Nicholson. I really do. Besides the fact the description really sucks.
Well, this
you know, I got to say, about like three quarters of this
film. By the way,
film,
happy birthday, Jack.
I'm just
hey,
thinking, yeah,
happy
you're
birthday.
Old, you're older than the old
I
guy.
I bet you don't watch this anyway.
I know. Anyways, you mind?
You might.
I'd be shocked as hell, but okay. Anyways. The three quarters of this movie have really no horror to it, you know?
It's true.
It's really not, and you don't really get an inkling as to anybody's powers until the tennis scene, really.
Well, they do kind of suggest
it. Yeah, it was subtle.
There was a lot of subtle stuff in the beginning.
Now, is this the first time you've seen this?
You know, I know that I've seen the church scene a few times.
Okay.
But I think I've always come into the movie around that.
Oh, all right.
So I haven't seen all of it in the past. So
if you're going to give this...
it's your first time.
Like, yeah, maybe. I don't remember.
No, I'm just wondering because...
I actually don't remember.
When you watch it the second time, I think you catch more of the horror in the beginning than you do if you watch it the first time because you know kind of what's going on. And it's so, like you said, it's very subtle in the beginning.
Yeah. Very subtle.
I don't disagree, but it's there.
I would say part of my problem, this being in 1987, I could have watched this a long time ago and just completely forgot because parts
agreed
of it are like, that looks so familiar. I can't, you know.
Well, I know for a fact I've seen the church scene multiple times.
Yeah.
But like I was telling Jen, is the all I've seen of that is what the TV version is, and it's edited, and there's things taken out.
Its TV version is totally different.
So it was very interesting to see it, and I gotta say, this was I actually enjoyed Jack Nicholson's role in this one. He did a great job of being
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. There's right really no other description for him, but that's really what he is.
Who yeah, it was a real interesting character, and Jack is Jack, and but yet he played this. I thought he played this character really well.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
The guy was just cool. Even that little funny ponytail he
had. Yeah, I was like, that's an interesting hairstyle.
Yeah, it was like really.
I was wondering now if Jack, if you are watching this for
the
audience members that are inquisitive, I want to know when your receding hairline started. Was it 14?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've seen it.
Very thin hair. He said he's.
Well, I mean,
you know,
just this section has always been not
there. I kind of got that.
And I kind of got it too.
It's a trademark.
I'm a young man, but you know, as far as I've ever seen him, basically at every age that I've seen him acting,
doesn't he almost look the same?
Yeah.
You know what? I was looking at this movie, 1987, and I just looked at his picture now, and he's 78 years old. Like, it still looks the same. He looked 78 years old in 87.
Yeah. It's all that tennis.
All that tennis.
I was going to say, like, because this is definitely an 80s horror movie. 80s horror movies, you know, you've got anything from Hellraiser to
Warlock.
Could have gone
Warlock to this.
Yeah.
And this is definitely, according to this, it's comedy fantasy horror, which I actually kind of agree with. This is also a John Updike novel. So I would say this is definitely soft horror because of the comedy element, but it's not like Army of Darkness, which was comedy horror, but I say a little bit more towards the horror part.
I'd also say, you know, like, what was that one that just came out recently? The Demon Bike Guy. That was a comedy horror.
Oh, you talked about the one with Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Ghost Rider?
Yes. Ghost Rider.
Thank you.
Yes.
For a
yes
second there, I'm like,
I knew and it was something like get, that, but that was a comedy horror to me.
I saw that movie too, and I kind of wonder why I saw it.
I've seen
for
all
a
of
joke
them.
It's a Nick Cage Nick film.
Nick Cage. That's as good an answer as
anyways,
anyone could ever give, right?
This one, I think this one had a lot more I would just kind of go with the whole thing of that it was a timepiece in the way that they had the comedy and the storytelling. This mm-hmm. was kind of, it felt a little bit of the extended storytelling of introducing you to the characters and their past and how they relate with each other more so than what you generally get with a horror film. Most of the horror films, you're like, here's the guy, here's as much backstory as you get, because we want you to vote for this guy to die.
Yeah, but they...
This one wasn't really like that, they also except for Jack Nicholson's character.
I would say with that, though, like, unlike this movie, the other movies are stereotypical. Like, you really don't need to know that much just based on their language and the way they dress.
Yeah, they try to tell you whether or not you're going to like this person just off their personality and how they interact with all the sequences happening to them. This one, I got to say, I really enjoyed the change of Jack Nicholson's character.
Yeah.
And the way that he interacted with each of the women.
Which
I thought it was really cool.
I was going to say, by the way, that if you guys haven't seen this yet, it actually has a pretty amazing cast. I'm not a giant fan of them, but they did a really good job.
That
Cher, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, close enough. And you had Lurch
hot
in this movie,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Lurch, I can't even say his name.
Yeah,
his
we looked him
name.
Up a little while ago.
And I'm horrible at pronouncing things. So, hey, if you're out there, we like you.
Call in and tell us how to pronounce your name.
please.
No, last name, at least.
He's not alive.
Well, it'd be a really cool thing to have him call in.
Anybody got a wreath?
Now, I got to say, I was very impressed with Cher's waxwork. That was really well done. I don't know why you had to have a hard-on on it, but, you know, whatever. You know, whatever floats
your
boat.
You watched it in high definition.
I didn't. High definition in THX.
I think the version I got was NC-17.
Maybe so.
I actually like Cher's acting, at least the stuff in the 80s. She did
like
in the 80s.
That little wax doll.
I like Cher.
I her acting wasn't bad. Her as a person, a lot of things
I'm not a fan of, but her acting
was well done.
Yeah.
I like the character she played. I like the straightforwardness of it.
Yeah,
and I like pretty strong much what she said back to Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't take this the wrong way, but
I love the way they flipped it on him too.
Yeah.
You know? And I do like the fact that it seems like some movies that have witches, all the witches have like vaguely similar characteristics. Like even
they
personality
look like
wise,
crooked nose.
You know, I mean, but this movie, it doesn't. I mean, the only movie I can think of at the top of my head that's kind of similar as far as characteristic is the Witch's Craft, where each person has a very different standout characteristic.
You know, one thing that watching it this time, there was a couple little things were bugging me. One of the things that was really interesting is these women kept changing their glasses. One scene they'd not have glasses, next scene they'd have a pair of glasses, and the scene after that it'd be a different pair of glasses, and it's like the prop crew couldn't keep the glasses straight. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I
mean, are you talking about the right before the...
Well,
they went and played tennis?
Yeah,
like
well,
there's... sitting there with the...
Yeah, there's numerous scenes where they all were wearing glasses of some kind. And I'm not talking about sunglasses, I'm talking about like prescription lenses like they were supposed to be. And, you know, I don't know how many people have multiple pairs of prescription glasses.
I mean,
they cost a lot of money, so you don't usually have more than one, so...
So, Industrial Light and Magic was hired in this movie.
I know how the tennis ball did.
Yeah, I was reading about it. They did it. Apparently, they did the whole scene because the Cher, Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Jack Nicholson apparently are so bad at tennis that they had to digitally do the whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
I can see that.
Which I was actually amazed because
when,
that era
she
CGI.
Was hitting it back when Michelle Pfeiffer had it right in front of her. I was just thinking to myself at that time, I was like, that's got to be CG.
Apparently, well, that was the
but
start.
Even still, it was kind of like, I'm like, no, I don't think they really use CG.
It seemed like some of the was it the when they're up close and personal, like those shots might have been real. But the other ones where it's hovering and all that.
No, when it was bouncing back and forth.
You got to see the start of all the witchcraft. That's when, you know, really got to start seeing, wait a minute. It's not only Jack that's got powers, but it's these women as well.
Yeah. Well, when the thing that kind of bothered me was they're sitting there arguing with each other right in front of that tree on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And the sidewalk cracks
up. Starts coming
up. Yeah. Why did they freak out and run like little scared girls? That was strange to me because I'm like, what, you guys have never seen, like, concrete split?
Well, have you? I'm thinking part of it is because they knew they had powers, but I don't think they knew. Touche.
That's right.
I don't think they knew like the extent of their powers together, though. I mean, they kind of knew what they could do, but I don't think they knew the seriousness of it.
No, that's true. They didn't for a while. They didn't know what they were able to do.
Okay,
and that was the scene after that one lady died. The lady that was saying, "Why he's such an evil man."
Oh yeah.
So I'm thinking
her
that
husband
they didn't
killed
know.
Her though.
Yeah, he went wacko.
No, I thought just because she died because of
what, the cherries.
Yeah,
no, she started going freaky crazy, and then he went up to her with a
poker, fire poker.
And then, you know, they cut away, and then they hear the screaming and the scuffle, and then they come back, and he's putting it back up.
Right.
And then who called the ambulance on that one? Wouldn't you call the coroner office?
Well, I don't know. And it was the next day, too.
Yeah.
Because it happened at night, so he obviously took a while before he called anybody.
He was cleaning up all the seeds.
Anyway, yeah, that was actually kind of funny. Like how many seeds came out, and I remember saying out loud, like, "Who eats the cherry seeds?"
It's like it was like fire hydrant, man. Yeah. That one had time up.
Which kind of goes towards my favorite end of the movie is when they were doing all this stuff to Jack Nicholson.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, when they started eating their cherries and he starts doing that, then spitting out. He clucked, didn't he? That scene.
Yeah.
It's like it's a cheap trick. I showed him how to do it.
Now, okay. Now, when he turns into giant, evil, monster Jack or whatever,
and then he shrinks.
Like, now, was that little baby
that was all that was left. That was all that was left of little Jack when the wax, there was only that little piece of wax left. And that was him, and then it finally melted away.
Oh, that's right, because they cracked it, they cracked his
they
doll.
Broke
and
him apart,
yeah, they
threw
him in the fire.
Right, and they threw it in the fire.
And then,
right.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
They should have given it. They should have given it to the dog.
If that was like he got warped to his other dimension thing or what?
A little bit. Well, until the end.
They don't even really, and apparently the book doesn't either. It doesn't really tell you what he is.
I was trying to figure out if he was the devil.
Well, apparently they allude to it.
They allude to it
because
his
that he's the devil.
Well, because his name is Daryl Van Home, and apparently Daryl, you know this. They say it's D, and you know it starts with a D, ends with an L. Apparently, it's very alluded, but apparently the book never says.
Mm. Well, and then there was that one scene where he pasted up the sheet of music in the big.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
With the D. Yeah.
Right. That I think that also pointed to him being the devil.
Okay.
And there was, you know, apparently him being so mad, everything was dying near him during that one scene when he
was berserk.
It was kind of my
thought.
And
he was like, shoved that thing in his face, and I wasn't sure what that was. I think it was a fig. But I'm not sure.
I thought it was a tomato.
No, it wasn't a tomato. It was shaped.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. It's a weird fruit.
Yeah, the weird smushing. One that I wasn't sure what it was.
Must have tasted all right because can't manage any.
I wonder how many times they had to do that scene.
If he was allergic to that fruit, pops off.
The thing I'd really love to see is to be there because apparently Jack Nicholson, I've heard it before, his acting style is like he'll do that thing straight up and then he'll go, "I have an idea. How about we plus it and add?" It just keeps adding things, and I guess the director gets to, you know, generally says, "Well, I like this, you know."
I gotta say though, the scene where he was upstairs ironing his shirts, that was my all time favorite scene.
That was
just masterfully done. That really was when he throws it and then he does his goose stepping. thing and turns around, and that was just, I gotta say, you know, that was really well done. That was a better, I think that scene was done better than the scene in The Shining when he's doing the typewriter and he starts chasing her with the bat. Give me the bat, give me the bat, give me the bat. that one I think is, you know, really well up there as to one of my favorite Jack Nicholson blow-ups. Although he did do quite a bit in anger management, that was really great.
Oh yeah,
I would say to me the personality on him is very similar to as good as it gets, but I think towards evil, not asshole.
Okay,
because I really love his character as good as it gets with Helen Hunt.
Well, so yeah, that was a good one too.
So what's he gonna do with his three little boys? There was never a sequel. I think there was
no, there really wasn't.
Well, apparently, I think Damien or something.
No.
Apparently, there actually was a sequel or a book written, but it's never apparently been converted into a movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do like the fact that he kind of somehow resurrected in TVs in the end. And
well, again, back to the devil thing. I mean, you couldn't have killed the devil just by melting an effigy of him. So I can see that coming. And I think what this points to, too, one of the reasons I like this movie, because it's fun. It's just fun to watch. And for horror, I mean, it's not one of these horror movies where blood's spurting everywhere and people's heads are cut open and brains are popping out. And I think that was my point.
Get cherry getting
well, I wanted to show a little bit of difference, just a little bit of, you know, we were coming into what horror really is like more today. And this was the beginning of it still. It was pretty tame.
Yeah,
but there was a little bit of it, and you know, a lot of people that are very religious, back at that time this movie came out, wanted to ban it.
I'm not surprised. Thank you, Thatcher.
Yeah, it was just one of those things that, you know, it's because of what it was. You know, people can't take it as a movie or humorous or you know, and I think that's why they leaned this movie a little bit more to the humor than to the horror side of it. But it was, I remember at the time it came out, that people were protesting that, terrible
I'm
movie.
I'm not surprised.
You know. Anyway.
Well, it was still around the time that they were also saying that, you know, video games, which were not anywhere near as violent as they are now.
Not even close.
Were the cause of everybody's woes, too. It was a lot of finger pointing at that time. This is the problem.
Oh, yeah,
this
is
the problem.
Trying to blame everything
I
blame everything on education anyway.
So. Yeah.
I just blame it on who's ever present at the moment. That makes it easier.
Anyways, but, you know, I agree with you. There was a lot of fun points in this film. I think for its time, it was more comedy than horror, which there was a ton of these coming out in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there was also Death Becomes Her. That was obviously horror, but they had humor on it.
That was another one I almost picked.
Because So I Married an Axe Murderer?
No, not so much.
And there was the aforementioned Army of Darkness, which I think was more on the horror end, but was also very funny moments.
Anyways.
Which I don't think they do anymore. All the horror nowadays, it seems like it has to be torture porn or try to be ridiculously scary.
And they jump out, scare you. Scary. That's just making loud noises.
And it's like they're trying to make everything as dark as they can. I mean, the film's just dark.
Do I need night vision?
If I'm going to be in, I can't watch it in my front room with the lights on because you can't see anything, you know?
That's what they got to do. They got to make, there's got to be a spoof of a horror movie that has night vision mode and you hit a button and everything goes green.
Yeah, you hand out little things in the beginning that give you a little bit of night vision or something and say, hey, enjoy.
That'd be pretty funny. So what do you give this, James?
You know, I think I give this one an even 3. Even though it's an odd number, you stupid people who thought I actually meant even.
Jeez.
Even though you said even?
Yeah.
Wow, Rob?
Rob's going to give it a 3.
All right,
I think that's where it sits.
It's in the middle
It was
ground.
Fun. It's right in the middle ground. You know, there was.
I can't say I didn't enjoy it. Yeah. You know, there was parts that I enjoyed.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree. It's a solid 3 out of 5. I actually think if this didn't have Jack Nicholson, I would have given way lower.
Yeah,
because
I'm not sure who
would
have played
this.
The character though. I mean, the casting of Sonny? His character. No, not even Sonny could have pulled that off.
No, but it would be funny that Jack Nicholson totally said, "I got you, babe." He totally should have dragged that out.
I'm sure Cher would have walked off.
She would have probably killed him.
And that would have been a bad thing.
That would have been it, yeah. Yeah, it would have been. I like Cher.
You would. You're old enough. Actually,
I remember Sonny and Cher very well.
A tad bit interesting. It was talking about how the director wasn't used to.
Is that an insult?
Was what?
Are you insulting me?
I think it was.
No,
I'm old enough.
No, not at all.
All of us get these notices.
You are the old guy. The most interesting thing about this is the fact that apparently the director, according to IMDb, wasn't used to American-style directing. And so something came along and he said he didn't need his trailer, so they started trying to hamper him at every time. When he asked for 50 extras, they gave him 12. They did this, and apparently they tried to even get rid of him until Jack Nicholson said, if you change directors, I walk. Which I thought was interesting, because apparently, according to what I read, this was like his first time directing in an American-style movie.
You know, I could actually see some of that influence. There was, in the beginning scenes, there was some things that I was kind of thinking, this seems like, you know, it was a Spanish film or something like that. Do you know where he's from?
Where?
The director.
Oh, you know, I don't
remember. That was
a
question, not an answer.
Yeah, I was really asking.
Where's he from? What's his name?
Some of my
Australia.
He's from Australia. Okay. Well, then it wouldn't have been that different.
No, it wouldn't have been that. Mm-hmm. But it kind of reminded me a little bit of some of the Spanish films that I've seen from that era too.
Some of the sets did look like they were from the, you know, Murder, She Wrote.
For some reason, I can't think of what the one that it reminds me of right off the top of my head. Anyways.
So with that being said, we're gonna go to chapter six of House of Cards.
Okay, I'll go if you want. Yeah, go ahead.
This episode didn't do anything for me at all. Towards the end, I really liked the end of this episode.
I liked him getting punched in the face. That turned that whole thing. That was perfect.
Well, that honestly, the first half of this just really bored me out of my mind. And later on, towards when they showed their cards a little bit more and what they were doing. Mm-hmm. That really started getting good when you got to see how dirty he really is on manipulating.
To me, five was boring. Six was much better, and I thought the whole setup to antagonizing the union guy, and I mean he knew exactly what was going to happen.
I love this line. I gotta say this though.
Okay. So we're gonna be getting up to the end of the season, and we're halfway through right now. How long before you think he actually is hands-on killing somebody?
End of the season?
Hands-on? I have no idea.
I'm thinking either the end of this season or the middle of next season is what I really think. I think at some point he is going to kill somebody.
Probably will.
Other than a dog.
See, the only thing that...
dog killer. I would think, Kevin Spacey, you're a dog killer.
The only thing I disagree with you on that is that he's the kind of guy that gets other people to do his dirty work. Okay?
But so. I think at some point he is going to have to actually do it himself. I really think that at some point...
All right, we'll see.
It'll be James' prediction. I've been saying, he's basically the Don, but I'm getting a sense that he will actually do it.
I think if the stakes was high enough,
he would.
He might.
Yeah.
And the only thing I've noticed is as this show progresses, they do less Zach Morris moments, which I think is kind of a bummer because those are some of my favorite.
There was some actually good ones in this one. I think that.
Yeah, there were a couple. The one with the president was the one I liked when he said it's kind of hard to say no to the most powerful man in the world.
But you have to do it and then it'll respect you, is what he said,
What I didn't like was the hospital scenes with his, His wife was in it. I didn't like any of the hospital scenes. I really thought they had to happen.
I'll tell you why after James.
Okay.
I was going to kind of go along with John. Is the reason why they did that is because she pointed out why she chose him over everybody else. And that was a little bit backstory on her, I think, is why they did it.
I would also say it's because this is the first kind of glimpse that you get to see. They're a match set. She's as brutal and will do whatever it takes for her causes as him.
And I think that part was good. But I just, the guy in the hospital bed. He was I was in your service for 8 years and he's a dying guy. And he said, I didn't really like him, And it's like, who the fuck cares?
Who likes him?
I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like him or not. It's your job.
Yeah. And at least he was smart enough not to shoot a guy running away.
That actually bothered me. Him replacing the bodyguard like that when he was protecting. Yes, he should not have fired his weapon the way he did. But the way that he did it wasn't very well done. And then he turned it around towards the end of the episode. But I think he should have gone directly to him and pointed out the problems that he did before he just kind of said, no, get rid of him. You deal with it type thing. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cowardly.
And with that, stay tuned for the next week's episode, which is episode 7.
Chapter 7.
At this point, same damn thing. And just to let you know, we do have a Facebook page. Help us. Do you like us? Hate us? Do you think we suck? We'll read you on air.
Apparently, they don't like anything.
Pause for the cause and help us keep the lights on. Hello? Is anybody
there? We're just
there?
Doing this for ourselves.
Hello?
Hello?
And no, I'm sad. We're going to switch things up to try a new. What was that?
Said that was easy to make you sad.
Switch things up. Try a new segment that Ryan Preston, the guy who's actually not here, suggested. And so what we're going to talk about is things that we've seen throughout the week that we thought was interesting. And I'll start.
Okay.
I've been.
I didn't find a damn thing interesting, so you better have a couple.
Well, I've actually been watching. It's a BBC show program. I think it's in 2010. It's called Wartime Farm. It's about it's about these three people, and they go on a farm in England, and for a whole year they live like it would be World War II.
So this is like a reality show.
Yeah, it's a British reality show, but it's more like a documentary. Like, it talks about one of the things that I thought was interesting, the ration system. It talks about the British government taking over farming and what would happen if you didn't live up to their quotas.
They shot you.
Then all that actually happened, apparently.
They were inscripted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must have seen this, or I know so, because it rings a bell. I know the whole thing that you're talking
and
about.
And it's interesting. And
I didn't remember it, so it couldn't be that good.
He's not that old, ladies and gentlemen. Or is he not British? So it was interesting, and I've been watching it with Laura for the last week or
name
something.
Name dropping.
Yeah.
Name dropping.
Why not? Drop the name.
And it's actually one of the more interesting shows I've heard about World War II, because this is the first one that I've ever seen that actually really talked about how it affected civilians in England.
Hmm. Well, you know, if you're going to talk about a TV series, one of the ones that James and I were just talking about, sure, he hasn't been watching it, is Outlander, and it's a new series that's out there, and I like that one.
Yeah, it's a very interesting plot.
Yeah, and with it, just as a quick synopsis of what this is about, she starts out in just after World War II,
1945.
And then somehow she magically goes back into time, but it's a very interesting period of time. And
so, using the time tunnel, she travels to 1743.
She ate a really big burrito and farted.
Interesting,
really bad.
Interesting intertake between the people. The characters are cool. This is Scotland, so it's totally different. You know, we're used to things like Ireland and England, but this is a different take. So I found that interesting as well too. They're trying to stay somewhat period correct from what I've been reading. Interesting series.
You know, one of the things I was kind of talking to John about is I just finished out Justified, watched it from season one all the way to the end.
And was this the series
finale? Yes, the series finale finally happened. And, you know, I very rarely, if ever, say this, is I think the ending of Justified did not leave for wanting.
Really?
I think they summed it up beautifully.
Wow.
I actually have to say that.
I don't want to leave it a hanging. I want a cliffhanger.
You know, I'm not into the cliffhanger thing, and I think they wrapped it up so well and so timely, and they didn't drag it out, which America TV has a really bad habit of beating a dead horse until there's, like, nothing left.
Got to get every nickel they can out of it.
And they really do seem to do that, and I'm very happy to say that Justified didn't do that. I was upset that it's over, but I think they ended it nicely. The only other season or show that I can say that with is I think The Shield did the same thing.
So unlike The Sopranos or
The ending was horrible. Dexter's was horrible.
Or Seinfeld, who has a notoriously bad one.
I mean, how many spinoffs did they pull out of that one?
None of them worked.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like Friends. You know, same thing. You know, everybody had a spinoff. None of them worked.
Yeah, everybody. I thought it was just Joey.
No, Lisa Kudrow had one, and
I actually didn't know that. How bad was that one?
And then, you know, Schwimmer started trying to do back his stand-up stuff for a while, and I guess that wasn't.
He did a good job in Band of Brothers,
he did do a good job.
Because he's a character you hate.
Yeah. That would be another one I could say they summed it up nicely in. But Band of Brothers was actually based on a real story.
Yeah. So they didn't have to sum up anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of did know the ending, huh?
we did. So, but you know,
it's like Titanic. So you're not spoiling
really
it.
Right.
Think of shows that I think summed it up nicely was The Shield and this one.
Yeah.
I have to say, that's rare, because usually at the series ending, I'm usually like, you son of a...
You know, I think you guys, if people out there, you know, since you're talking about the shows that you're talking about, I think you will like Outlander, so you might consider starting to watch those.
Cause yeah, that one's, you know,
there's not a whole lot of really, really
so
well done.
Well, I think you should take a look at Turn.
I'm going to do that.
That one I stayed away from for quite a long time.
So for a quick synopsis for Outlander, I actually haven't watched it yet. It's follows the story of Claire Radlall, a married combat nurse from 1945 who mysteriously swept back in time to 1743. And shenanigans happen.
Pretty much.
It's a good term for Scottish
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans. You did okay.
So next week we generally do theater pick, but since, well, we honestly couldn't find a damn movie that we wanted to see, we decided to throw a dice, and whoever got close to the number that landed picked it, and Rob is the first one, so this may or may not be a good pick, so blame him.
Well, you know what? I was frantic for a while, because when you guys, okay, you got to come up with a movie, come up with a movie. Well, I haven't seen what I consider decent sci-fi in a while. And I hesitate to say this because some people love it, some people hate it. But what I want to do is I want us to all watch Star Trek Into Darkness.
Wait, didn't we do that one already?
I think we did.
I know, but we can do it again.
James, are you okay with that?
Because it must have been pre-me. Okay.
I am a little torn.
No, if you guys do what you like.
Well, okay. No,
that was my pick. If you don't like my pick, you guys pick one. So.
No, if James is cool with it, I'm fine with it.
No.
Well, I think, okay.
Nope, I'm done. Wow. You guys pick it.
I can't argue with him. So next week we're going to be doing another Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So enjoy.
Wait, what?
Yep, I did it.
Well, at least I don't have to watch it.
Why?
I've seen it too many times.
Oh.
All right.
So I guess we're doing... I was kind of looking forward to doing Star Trek Into Darkness. Thanks, James.
Can you look at your list?
Yeah.
And when did you do it? Because it wasn't with me.
I'm pretty certain we did do it, but I know it was before you.
This is going to make great TV, by the way.
Well, yeah, you know...
So while Jonathan's looking through the list of movies that have been reviewed on the show... let's see, what other good TV that's...
You know, I don't see it.
You don't? All right. Well, I'm okay with doing it. I had no issue to do it.
One second.
Get to the way early. Maybe you did this way early on.
Well, it was 2013, so not that way early.
You know, the other series on television, if you haven't followed it, it's been on for quite a while, is Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into that one.
You guys did do it. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I'm actually cool with doing a flashback episode.
Well, that was only episode 54, so that was... A while ago.
That was when I was in theater.
Yeah, this was right...
Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay with taking another look at it.
Yeah, I'm doing good, so we'll just do this one a little differently. Sorry about the very boring ending, but hey...
That's okay. So we are going to do it into the
darkness? Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's look at it this way. We can all look at it as fun.
Yeah, it's fun. That's why we do the show anyway.
You know, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, as many times as I've seen it, it's a good Jack Nicholson movie, and I think it should be put in our queue somewhere. I think at some point
it's
we should
in my queue.
Okay, so let's keep it in there because it definitely deserves our review.
Our notice, yeah.
Anyway. So next week, instead of the theater pick, it's obviously...
We finally figured it out.
We're going to throw...
This is new for us, guys.
we're throwing things up and going to do a flashback episode to number 54, which is Star Trek Into Darkness. And it's episode 7 of House of Cards or whatever it's called.
Chapter 7. Hopefully this time on Star Trek Into Darkness, Ryan will not be a sad baby monkey.
I doubt it.
That's true.
And as always...
He's got a habit of not making it.
We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Bye.